The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Yes, hello everyone, welcome along. You're listening to the Punt Podcast here with William Hill, looking at the 10 Premier League matches this weekend. It's Dave Kellner here in the studio, joined by Lee Phelps and the Naff winning machine. He cannot be stopped at the moment, Mr. Derek McGovern. Good morning, Derek.
Good morning, lads. Good morning. The bookies are already paying out on my victory in the Naff table, I hear.
I tell you what, I'm
marathon,
sick.
Not a sprint. Flash.
Yeah, but it's getting towards the end of the marathon, isn't it, in all fairness?
I've hit the wall. That's what they're saying, running, isn't it?
The problem is at the moment as well, we've got a couple of punters on Twitter that are doing the tricks every week. We can't pick a nap between us, Lee Phelps.
Well, I think that's harsh. I think mine was unlucky. yours was downright stupid.
Southampton minus 4 goals or something.
Oh, they dominated.
I think we're going to have to change the. There's going to have to be a second place. It's going to have to be a second place finish at some point. That's going to.
They've opened the market, haven't they? Better,
daylight.
Better without Derek.
Daylight will finish second.
I'm just hoping. I've had each way terms. Top three finish.
Let's get stuck into this weekend then, and cracking Saturday to look forward to with the two derbies. And we start with the North London derby, 12:45 p.m. Tottenham taking on Arsenal. Tottenham 23-10, the draw 21-10, and Arsenal 13-10. The reverse fixture back in September, Lee, finished at one apiece. And this is a critical game as far as the top four is concerned, with just a couple of points separating the two. And both of these two teams come into the match in reasonable form, Lee.
Yeah, they are in good form. I would say Arsenal are in the better form. Derek's been talking about them for a few weeks now. And you know, when Derek sits up and notices Arsenal's form, that they must be playing pretty well. And they are, you know, not doing an awful lot wrong, are they? The 5-0 over Aston Villa, I mean, they just destroyed them, didn't they? From pretty much minute one to the end, they just scored goals, a steady progression right through. I mean, the only goals they've conceded were against Brighton, which I think shows you a lot about Arsenal. You know, they do tend to switch off when they're not right on it. But, you know, the three games before that, they won 2-0. I think they're in really good form. Spurs, not quite sure, you know, week in, week out where they are. But 23-10, the biggest price of the three, is a tempter for me, I must admit. It's a struggle to pick a winner, I think, in these games. I mean, if we were told yesterday that Sanchez definitely wasn't playing. Now Wenger's saying that he's determined to prove his fitness. So that might be one to watch. They've still got a fantastic front line anyway, even without him. You know, they'll probably go with Giroud up top, Ozil, Cazorla, Ramsey, Walcott, with Coquelin in that new role. Tottenham, fully fit squad to pick from. They'll go with what we've seen in recent weeks. I was looking at Harry Kane, because obviously like him, everyone's talking about him. He hasn't scored against many of the big clubs. He scored two in that big win over Chelsea when, Chelsea were just not at the races. But that's the only big team he's scored against this season. So whether he's a bit of a flat track bully at the minute, or whether he can't quite do it at the very top level yet, maybe something to take into consideration. I've been looking at the cards though in this market. Martin Atkinson's the referee. Sent Giroud off when they played QPR this season. There were also five yellows plus his red in that match. So he's not afraid to throw the cards around. He also showed seven yellows in Arsenal's match with Chelsea at Stamford Bridge. You look at the head-to-heads between these two. This is the last six. Head-to-heads between them. 9 yellows in September, 8 yellows in the head-to-head between these two in February, 4 yellows before that, 4 before that, 3 in a red before that, and 7 in a red before that. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see a similar kind of game, a feisty game with plenty of challenges being thrown in. The most booking points market, Tottenham are 13-10, draw 9-2, Arsenal 21-20. I think I'll just play the amount of bookings points. If you're not used to this, 10 for a yellow, 25 for a red, and the maximum one player can get is 35. I think over 55 at 21-20 looks well manageable. I know we've had those two in the middle there with where we only had 40, but it's landed in a lot of those other matches that I mentioned. So yeah, over 55 bookings points, 21-20, and if forced for a pick on the results, I'll sit on the fence and go for the draw.
Okay, the draw 21-10. Lee mentioning the head-to-heads there. Since 2011, Arsenal have won 5 of 7 North London derbies. They did play really well at the Etihad a couple of weeks ago, and Francis Coquelin had a lot to do with that performance as well, Derek. Just sat in front of the back four and they showed a little bit of steel for once, Arsenal.
Don't get me onto that role, the Claude Makélélé role. I could do it smoking a cigar with my eyes shut. It's a load of nonsense. It's basically a glorified defender. You know, don't ever get me started on the holding midfield
role. He's done it.
My aim's to wind you up in the first 5 minutes of the podcast, Derek.
You should be on Celebrity Big Brother with Katie Hopkins. Yeah, I mean, the interesting part of this match is Emmanuel Adebayor reading the papers today. He could be the first player in a North London derby to be booed by both sets of fans. I mean, that's an absolute lulu, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's the only man in Premier League football who gets carried on the pitch. Yeah, wasn't it earlier this season he was supposed to have had a juju curse put on him by his mother? That was his excuse for not scoring a goal, I think. But if he was that cursed, he'd be playing for Spurs. Oh, God, he is, isn't he? Yeah. I tell you what, Lee's right. Lee, you know, in all the stats you come out with, Lee, the most pertinent was that top number 23-10. Mm. Yeah, and, you know, and this is a Tottenham side in great form. Yeah, I know Arsenal are, you know, fantastic results against City, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, Tottenham have played in this match at White Hart Lane in these subs. And for some reason, I have had it in my head that they haven't got a great record against Arsenal. But In the last 5 meetings at White Hart Lane in the Premier League, Tottenham have won 3 and drawn 1. I mean, that's pretty good going. Now, where did these results come from? How have they faded from the memory banks? And that was probably when Tottenham weren't as good as they are now. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, Arsenal are playing great. I've been unfair to them for about the last 8 years. It was that result against Stoke a few weeks ago that made me sit up. I thought, I mean, they absolutely wiped the floor with Stoke that day. And they've carried on in that great vein. But this is a tough test for them. And I just think the odds are wrong here. Arsenal just above evens? No, not right. Tottenham for me.
Tottenham 23-10 for Derek and Lee playing the overs on the booking points there at 21-20. The Merseyside derby next Saturday 5:30 p.m. Everton taking on Liverpool. Everton 23-10. The draw 21-10. Liverpool 13-10. Two headline offers here. Romelu Lukaku to score and Everton to win is 5-1. Daniel Sturridge to score and Liverpool to win is 7-2. Derek, Liverpool's performances have improved considerably recently. I'd be amazed, Derek, if Daniel Sturridge didn't start this game. He's got 5 in his last 6 against Everton. He looks ready for a full return now.
Well, he's either going to play start in this game or the one against Spurs on Tuesday, says the manager. It's, you know, about time he was back. But it'd be interesting if he does start. What will happen to Raheem Sterling, who's been sensational? But the man of the moment for Liverpool is Coutinho. What a player. And that pass, I don't know whether you saw that pass for the West Ham, the opening goal against West Ham.
Yeah.
And I was watching that game in a pub, and I couldn't hear the sound or anything. I could not believe the pass of the season.
I'd do that in my sleep. Yeah. My hands tied behind my back.
You know, it wasn't even mentioned on Match of the Day later that night. I mean, I was waiting for, you know, Shearer or someone to pick up on it and say, you know, but total criminal oversight. But anyway, he's been sensational. I mean, I think Everton are there to be opposed right now. Liverpool have developed a habit of winning games when not playing particularly well. Everton have developed a habit of not playing particularly well. they're just not there at the moment. A lot of Everton fans I've spoken down to recently not happy with the manager. I mean, the good news for them, I suppose, is that in derby matches, the form book goes out of the window. The bad news is that through the window comes Aaron Lennon. You know, what kind of a signing is that? Did you see the gob on him when he signed this week? Jesus.
Those pictures were brilliant.
Oh, my God.
Fantastic.
I was talking to, we do another podcast called the FWA podcast, which is like the journalists. And it was Matt Lawton who was on yesterday. And I mentioned that to him. And he said that he actually, when he was at the World Cup, you know, the WAG World Cup, World Cup in Germany, said that Lennon was around then. And he said he's just like that. He's just got one of them faces.
Okay.
He's not a miserable chap. He just hasn't got a very... Yeah. Bit like Berahino, I guess. Scores a goal and looks like, you know, he's someone's just nicked a fiver out of his back pocket.
Did you like the way...
He looks like a man who's just trodden on the last ping pong ball. He's, surplus the requirements at Spurs. Those requirements being that you have to be over 4'11". So he was out the window. I'm not sure that's a good sign for Everton. But, you know, it's a derby match and you can never be too sure. But the way Liverpool are playing, and principally because of Coutinho, I think, is you can stick your Fabregas's your Cazorlas, you can stick them right where the sun don't shine. This man is different class, Coutinho, mark my words.
Did you like the way Derek as well, Lee said, we do the FWA podcast, that one's for the journalists.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one's for the betting experts. No. This one's for the betting expert, the godfather of sports betting.
So is it Liverpool for you then, Derek, at 13-10?
Definitely Liverpool. Yeah.
Just a quick opta stat here as well, Lee. This fixture's seen more red cards, 20, than any other in Premier League history.
But
there haven't been any in the last six meetings, which is interesting. The longest run without one since 1996. Agree with Derek. Everton, though, still difficult to trust at the moment.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, they've had one good result and we're expected to go and think they're going to beat Liverpool, who I think have been really good recently. I think they're better than Derek does at the moment. I just think they've been defensively much more solid. Everyone seems to understand their roles a lot more. And then all of a sudden, the little holiday for Sterling seems to have done in the world of good as well. He's got a great record at the minute, scoring goals. Derek mentioned Coutinho, can't really add any more to that. All he needs is consistency, and then I think you do talk about him in a similar breath to the likes of Hazard and those sort of players. And Sturridge comes back. He's just a goal machine. He's got an unbelievable record. 5-6 against Everton. He's got a great record, full stop, for Liverpool. So, Gerrard's final Merseyside derby as well, so there's that thrown into the mix. I think 30. If this wasn't Everton, I don't think they'd be 13-10, Derek.
You're right. Yeah, if it was a team in Everton's position in the league,
in Everton's form, it wouldn't be 13-10.
Exactly.
I honestly don't think that
the derby factor is factored into the odds already, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm not sure how two minds how the game will go. I mean, what would be sensible from Everton's point of view is just to kind of shut up shop and try to make sure that Liverpool don't get any chances, because Liverpool aren't scoring that many goals, and if Sturridge doesn't start, then they might struggle to score again. It took a long time for them to score against Bolton. In fact, they had to go behind, didn't they, before they scored. But something happens at Goodison. The last game there was 3-3. The game before that was 2-2. Liverpool won 2-0 before that. It was two goals in the game before that. It's usually quite an open game. I don't know. I mean, Derek will tell us more, but I wonder if the manager sent them out there with the express intention of being tight and sitting back, if the atmosphere and the fans almost implore Everton forward to go and beat Liverpool. So I think it's a huge game for Everton. This could be a catalyst for them for the season. Equally, if they lose, I mean, they're staring at the wrong end of the table again, aren't they? I think there's too much pressure on Everton here. I think they'll, I think they will attack, actually. I think they'll have a go, and I think they might use the pace on the wings. I'm praying one thing happens in this game, Derek, and that, it's doubtful, but I'm praying that James McCarthy starts with Aaron Lennon. Then we could have Lennon and McCarthy. That's all I'm bothered about, to be honest with you. I just want that to happen. But I do like Liverpool as well. Some goal scorer bets,
Okay.
Gerrard, he's got a brilliant record against Everton, of course. Often he's been the difference between the two teams. Even recently, he's got a great record in the last six. He's 11-5. Coutinho's 11-5 as well. I like both of those players. I'll probably just about go for Gerrard because he kind of writes his own scripts, doesn't he? The red card, by the way, 2-1 for a red card. I never like that. I always think it's too short. Instinctively, it just seems too short for a red card, despite the stats. So, I'll go for Liverpool to win at 13-10.
It's well worth keeping your eye on that team sheet as well, because if Daniel Sturridge does start, that headline offer's going to look attractive, isn't it? Sturridge to score and Liverpool to win is 7-2. Let's move on to Sunday's live games. Triple header on Sunday on the television. Burnley versus West Brom is first up.
The one that you'll miss.
Burnley 13-8. The draw 21-10. West Brom 9-5. Midday kickoff. Lee, it looks like a difficult game to get handle on from a 90 minutes perspective. Two sides that have been struggling but have also shown glimmers. West Brom managed to get decent results against poorer teams in the FA Cup. That was a bad result against Tottenham, though, at the Hawthorns. And there's a feeling that if West Brom concede, there's no plan B, really. Tony Pulis will set them out to be difficult to break down, but once they are broken, it's difficult to piece them back together.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I don't think they will get broken down here, though. I think, I've mentioned before, when the manager went into Crystal Palace and he had a real job to do, a bigger job than this, his away record in the first few games was very good and very obvious, if you like, as to what he was trying to do, and that was just to go away and get a point. And I don't think he'll mind where they go as long as they pick up points. I don't think they'll go for it here particularly. And I think Burnley may well struggle to break down a very resolute West Brom side. They've been scoring more goals, Burnley, at home. Two against Palace, two against QPR, one against Tottenham. But all three of those teams are quite open. You know, QPR, you know, just rubbish, aren't they, really? So, you know, they should have won that. Tottenham, obviously, an open team, and Crystal Palace have turned into more of an open team under Pardew. They were two up against Palace and lost the game, remember? So I think they'll find it a lot harder to break down West Brom. And I think the prices represent that the traders don't really know either what's going on here. 13 to 8, 9 to 5, 21 to 10. I think I'll take the biggest of the three. And if you want a bigger, slightly bigger price, then I think the draw... and under 2.5, I could see this being a nil-nil, you know.
Okay, the draw and under 2.5 goals for Lee. If you're looking at the nil-nil draw, by the way, 7-1 on the nil-nil
13
draw.
13-5 the draw and under 2.5, by the way.
7-1 short, isn't it, these days?
Yeah, it does look short there. Derek, Lee mentioned that result against Crystal Palace. That might prove to be a defining moment for Burnley because they've subsequently gone and lost against Sunderland 2-0. Yeah. Danny Ings has now had his head turned by Liverpool as well. Yeah. That could be a real negative going forward for them.
Big time, yeah. I mean, I fancy West Brom here, and I'm struggling to work out why. It was mainly because of Burnley's shortcomings. I mean, everything in the garden looked rosy when they went on that run a few weeks ago, but losing to Palace and Sunderland in quick succession, were they to lose this as well against another relegation rival, well, you know, the distress signals really would be out. I don't think Burnley have done enough to be clear favourites, certainly. And West Brom, you know, they get a lot of stick, mostly from me, but they've lost the same number of away games this season as Liverpool. You know, they're not that bad on the road, West Brom. I'm going to give them a squeak here. I think they'll win this one.
One bet, if you're going along with Derek, or even if you think the unders might land, but there might be a goal. I think Seda Berahino at 9-5 is a really good price. I think this kind
you
of
you like
opposition,
it, don't you? A
yeah,
lot.
Well, his goals speak for himself, don't they? And, you know, his goals at the youth international level speak for themselves as well. I think 9-5 is a nice price about a good finisher against a limited defence. Mm. You know, not the worst defence in the world, but a limited one. I think he could get a goal here. And hopefully he'll smile when he gets it.
Yeah. I doubt it. Yeah. That's a bigger price than him scoring, I think. 9-5 Berahino to score in that match. Newcastle versus Stoke, 2:05 PM on Sunday afternoon. Newcastle 13-10. The draw 11-5. Stoke 11-5. Headline offer here with William Hill. Iotsi to score and Newcastle to win is 7-2. Peter Crouch to score and Stoke to win is 7-1. Derek, Bojan's going to be a big loss long term for Stoke, but they cope well without him at home against QPR, yeah. And they've now only lost one in their last eight, 2 points ahead of Newcastle in the league.
Yeah.
When I saw this, I thought you were going to be all over Stoke here, Derek.
Yeah.
That was my instinct anyway.
Well, I am. I think Stoke are always being underrated by the bookies. I mean, you're always getting better prices about Stoke than you should do, in my view. It was a good result for them last week against QPR. Batted Rochdale in the cup, didn't he? Beat Leicester. I mean, what surprised me was Newcastle's performance last week at Hull. I thought he'd get beat there with the Carver taking over. I just don't think he'll cut the mustard at that level. But they did nothing wrong under him last week. But it was Hull who were getting pasted by everybody. I just think Stoke, I want to be on Stoke's side at the moment. I think they're doing everything right. And I think they'll give me a match bet who'll finish higher. Stoke and Newcastle, there's 2 points in it now in Stoke's favour. If you give me even money, I'll be on Stoke all day long. I'm convinced they'll finish higher than Newcastle. I think they'll win this as well, but it's not my most confident bet ever.
11-5 Stoke for Derek. Lee, I was looking. I looked at the goals here. Mm-hmm. I was surprised to see it over 2.5. I know this cursed me last week when I mentioned the goals bet, but I was surprised to see over 2.5 goals available at 23-20. The way John Carver sets his side out, I'd expect them to play expansive football, and Stoke aren't. This is something we mentioned on the podcast previously this season. Stoke aren't playing as cautiously as they have done in the past.
No, but they've struggled to score goals away from home. I think the thing is with Stoke is that they aren't as cautious, but they aren't very good at finishing either. You know, I think that's the issue. You know, I think only twice this season they've scored more than one goal away from home. That was that really good win at Tottenham. when they scored really early in the game, and they got the draw at QPR, the 2-2 draw. Again, they scored after 11 minutes in that game as well. So, you know, I think the longer the game goes on, I think that they just, sometimes I think Stoke are happy just to bed in and take the point. And I think that's might be what happens here. I wonder if this John Carver side will be that expansive against them. I find this a very tricky game to call, by the way. I'm just not quite sure which Newcastle's going to turn up. They have scored 7 goals in the last 3 home games, 3 against Everton, 3 against Burnley, and then the one in the defeat to Southampton. So, yeah, anyone who fancies that over 2.5, I think it's a nice price.
I think the price is there, because 13 to 20, the under looks short to me.
Yeah.
That is very short.
Yeah. And, you know, I probably would go with the unders, but I'm not going to touch that bet. The bet I like is John Walters to score in this game. I mean, he's got a fantastic record against Newcastle, scored more goals against Newcastle than any other club in his career. And he's just rattled in a hat-trick, hasn't he, against QPR. 2-1. Like that a lot.
Love Robert Huth's tweet as well.
Don't talk about those ones.
He's moved to Leicester. I won't talk about those ones, but he's moved to Leicester City now, and he said he can fulfil his dream of man-marking John Walters now when they play each other in the league.
Which is good, isn't it? Did you see, Derek, did you see that, what he got done for?
Yes, I did, yeah.
Unbelievable,
yeah.
That, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, what was he thinking? I mean, I know you should be able to do what you want, I guess, but
yeah.
What was he thinking?
I know.
I when I saw it happening on Twitter, I was thinking, nah. That can't be his real account.
You know what? I don't
think. Funny as it was.
I don't think he's in the minority playing that game either on Twitter.
No, I don't think so. It's just, I suppose being a Premier League footballer maybe is the. Yeah.
In the spotlight a little bit more.
Yeah, I would have said so, yeah. I think we could have got away with doing it ourselves.
Newcastle 13-10, the draw 11-5, Stoke 11-5. Do check out those headline offers as well.
I made a slight mistake.
Okay.
John Walters has scored more goals against QPR than Newcastle, but that's a second. 4 goals against Newcastle in his career, so just to correct that. I still like the bet, though.
We'll let you off. West Ham versus Manchester United, the tea time kickoff on Sunday. West Ham 3-1, the draw 11-5, Manchester United even money. Headline offers here, Diafra Sakho to score and West Ham to win is 7-1 here with Hills. And Wayne Rooney to score and Manchester United to win is 4-1. Lee, this is historically a good fixture for Manchester United. They've won 11 and drawn 1 of their last 12 in the Premier League against West Ham. This isn't a typical year, though, is it? Only 7 points between the two teams in the league at the moment. West Ham having a career season in the Premier League and Manchester United still trying to work things out, to put it diplomatically.
Yeah, 3-1. It just looks too big on West Ham at home against this Man United team. If this was the Man United home team is much different to the away team. Sometimes you don't see them creating too many chances away from home. 3-1. This is the game where my nap is probably going to come in. I don't know whether to go for West Ham or Andy Carroll to score. They've scored more headers than any other team in the Premier League this season, West Ham, 14. He's won miles more headers than any other player in the Premier League. He averages 9.25 headers per match. And that's not, you know, on target or anything like that. That's just winning headers. I think he might give this Man United defence kittens, to be honest with you. And why is he 2-1 to score at home? You know,
it does seem a big price there.
Yeah, I mean, I know he's got limitations, but he has been much better. They will do what they always do. That will be West Ham's tactic, to get the ball in the box and test this defence. You know, you can imagine what the drills have been all week, can't you? You can imagine what the manager's saying to them. It's obvious, really. You don't even have to be a manager to figure it out.
And that's where Manchester United throughout the season have looked a little bit susceptible, perhaps.
Yeah, the keeper's all right, but the defenders, I mean, you know, you've got, you know, whatever he plays, if he plays Valencia and Carroll, you've got Valencia to keep an eye on. If they play Sakho and Carroll,
well, I think that's what will go with Sakho and Carroll, because yeah, both are so strong physically.
Yeah, they're going to be running around all over the place, and I think they've struggled. I think there could be a lot of goals in this game, by the way, as well, because I think West Ham will attack and will go for it. They were unlucky not to get something at Old Trafford when they lost 2-1. They had a right old go. And I think they'll have a go here. I think we could see a really entertaining game, maybe with the, you know, United countering with their pace. But I'm going to go Andy Carroll 2-1 anytime. Just because the 3-1's brilliant, but I'm not sure I can trust West Ham.
Yeah, and just to, in addition to what you were mentioning about the home form of the Hammers, they've already beaten Liverpool and Manchester City at home this season. It's a weird one, isn't it, Derek? Because in the past, punters would have been clambering over each other to get that even money on Manchester United away to a team like West Ham in the Premier League, but this is a different season.
Yeah, you're right. It's a totally different season. And I looked at this fixture and my immediate thoughts were, after watching West Ham against Liverpool last week, United will win this. And I fully expected to see 6-4 at least. Evens is a crime. On what basis are they even money, other than the fact that West Ham were useless last week and Man United always win at Upton Park? But you're right, that was under Fergie and it was different teams, different animals. Basically, West Ham are overpriced at 3-1. You know, I mean, find me a punter who can argue against that and I'll find you an idiot because they are too big.
Hello!
Sorry, Lee. No offence. I'm going to go for West Ham on that basis alone. They were atrocious last week against Liverpool. They didn't seem to try a leg in my eyes, and Hippo Head came out with all kinds of excuses afterwards. He's got some players back now. But United are so beatable right now. God knows how they're third in the league. But I think West Ham will beat them. I'm not saying West Ham will beat them, but I think West Ham are massively overpriced. Mm.
Let's move on to the non-televised matches this weekend. Saturday, 3 p.m. for the next five, and we'll start with Manchester City. Their take on Hull at the Etihad. 1-5, Manchester City. The draw, 5-1. Hull, 16-1. For some reason, Vincent Kompany's made it into the headline offer here. Him to score and Manchester City to win is 6-1. Nikita Jelovic to score and Hull to win is 20-1. Man City, Derek, dominated for large periods at Stamford Bridge, but only ended up with a 1 point in the end. And in all honesty, even though they had a lot of possession and a lot of territorial advantage, they didn't create that many chances against Chelsea. Maybe that performance overblown slightly.
Yeah, but they were better than Chelsea. They went to Chelsea and they looked at, I fully expected them to win that game. They'll win this, but once about how bad are Hull? Mm. I mean,
pretty bad.
That performance against Newcastle last week, it was just a disgrace, wasn't it? And they haven't scored in how many games? Four games they haven't scored. Five in the last six, they've drawn blanks. Mm. I mean, how do you have a bet on this game? I mean, I really don't know.
Dish out a thumping to them, couldn't they, really?
It's the handicap. It's the handicap mark, isn't it, I'd be looking at here. City minus 2 goals is 11-8. I mean, I can't see how that won't pay out. I really can't. Because one thing, that Newcastle game last week I was watching, Hull would be reft of anything. And they did highlight this on Match of the Day. One goal, I think it was the third goal for Newcastle, when two Hull midfielders just didn't bother tracking back. It was like what you'd see from your mates on a Sunday afternoon in the park. And it was criminal for Premier League footballers. And it just makes you think something is seriously wrong at Hull right now. And I think City will absolutely muller them. So City minus 2 and 11-8 for me.
Lee?
Yeah, it's an interesting game, isn't it? I mean, just to add to those Hull stats about the goals, lowest shots on target per game in the Premier League away from home as well, averaging just 2.5 shots. I know that's, you don't get 2.5 shots, but it doesn't take too much to figure out that they had 12 away games. Rubbish, isn't it? 30 shots on target in 12 away games.
They've failed to score in 11 dreadful. Of 15 in the Premier League. I mean, that is dire.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? City's recent form is, it's not great. If you look at in all matches, they haven't won a game in the last four. After that brilliant run they went on, drew with Everton away, beaten by Arsenal, lost to Middlesbrough in the cup, and then drew with Chelsea. Obviously, Chelsea's fair enough, but I think I was tempted to go with Man City in under 2.5 and just go for the 2-0 win, get the job done, but I think Aguero probably used this game, and the team will use this game to get themselves back in the groove again. So I think I can imagine if Aguero starts, and I see no reason why he won't, I think they'll win this comfortably. I'm going to have a look at Aguero's hat-trick at 11-1 here. I think it's just the sort of game where he could easily score three. Two or more is 12-5. It's a massive jump, isn't it, against a team like Hull, who, if they go two down early, could collapse. To be honest, I mean, they lost 3-0 to Newcastle, we said, lost 3-0 to West Ham the week before that. They're not scoring goals, as Derek said. I mean, the handicap bet looks absolutely rock solid, by the way. I just don't want to nick it. Another way of going with it would be just to go with that man, Aguero. 11-1 for the hat-trick.
They made that new sign, haven't they, Hull? Damon Doy or something. Dame and Doy, I don't know where he's from, somewhere in Russia, I think. But he gets a lot of bookings at Panto season.
And we are in Panto season at the minute, so maybe it's worth having a look.
Next up, Aston Villa versus Chelsea. Aston Villa 17-2. The draw is 7-2. Chelsea in the market at 4-11. Aston Villa just won one of their last nine in the league at Villa Park. The FA Cup has probably been a welcome distraction for them, but they've still only got 11 in 23 in the league. And this is one for Derek here. They've gone 5 hours and 42 minutes without a goal at Villa Park in the league this season. They just can't, just similar to Hull, they just can't score goals. And even though Chelsea are not quite clicking, Lee, as they were earlier on in the season, this will be... They'll see this as a game to get back on track at Villa.
Yeah, you would target it, wouldn't you? But Villa haven't got the worst record in the world against Chelsea. You know, they beat them last year 1-0 with a Fabian Delph goal. The season before that, it was 2-1. Benteke opened the scoring after 15 minutes. It took till the 88th for Lampard to win the game for them, and a couple of sendings off in both of those games as well.
Yeah.
So pretty feisty-looking games. The season before that, it was 4-2. It was 2-2 until the 80th minute, and Chelsea wrapped the game up in the last 10 minutes. So a bit of a bogey team. It's just hard seeing this season's Villa doing anything like that, isn't it, with the goals record that we've talked about. I mean, I was stupid enough to think that they might book that trend last week, and it didn't happen. I mean, it'd be ridiculous of me to go again with that, but with only, you know, the same record as Hull away, but at home Villa have got just 2.6 shots on target per game. You need more than that against Chelsea, don't you, even if they are missing players up front. But I think I'll go with the usual. I know it's a little bit boring, but the Chelsea 2-0 at 5-1. It's just job done, this, isn't it? It's just get the job done and get off home again.
Yeah. I mean, they're changing the name at Villa, Aston Nilla, they're going to be called from now on. I mean, they just can't buy a goal. In fact, they tried in the transfer window, but no one would sell them.
True.
You just know, though, I mean, you know, all the stats you come out with are right, you know, they don't look like scoring, but this is a Premier League team with two internationals up front, and sooner or later that run has got to end. They can't just keep. I mean, you know, that's the only way I can back an argument for Villa to score in this game. But you just know instinctively, you know, they're going to do sooner or later. I noticed it's 7-5, something like that, 6-4 for both teams to score. I'm tempted. I know they threw in a towel last week against whoever it was, Arsenal, but it missed, by the way, the towel. But I've just got to think that you know, these runs, they can't go on forever, can they? It's like when we talked about QPR losing away. That run has gone on forever. But, you know, this Benteke is still a Belgian international. Like Bonlahor, still an England international, or what used to be, anyway.
That new lad from Valencia scored a cracker, didn't he? Was it in the FA Cup, that Carlos
Hill,
as we have to call him now.
Yeah.
Because everyone's a football hipster. And that's how you pronounce his name as well. But yeah, so they've got a bit of quality, haven't they?
Yeah, I'm going to go both teams to score 7-5.
If you do fancy Villa here, you could look at that headline offer. It's a big price. Christian Benteke to score. He's the likeliest Villa scorer by a long way. Him to score and Villa to win is 20-1. So if you do fancy that,
Eden Hazard's 23-20 looks a good bet. It'd be interesting to see if their new signing, Juan Cuadrado, starts. This is the most expensive signing in the transfer window, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I didn't know an awful lot about his club form. Obviously, he played for Colombia. He was a guy who nodded it down to James Rodriguez to score that brilliant goal. Admittedly, Rodriguez probably did most of the hard work there. But I was looking at his record to see what he was all about, and he's obviously a winger, very, very quick indeed. 165 club games. This is on the website transfermarkt.com, as far back as they go. 165 club games. He scored 23 goals and made 27 assists, which is all right, isn't it? It's not brilliant. 45 bookings he's picked up, though.
It's unbelievable,
his career.
Isn't it?
1 in 3.
Yeah.
I mean, now you could argue that the divisions that he's played in, there's more yellow cards being thrown around, which is fair enough. But I think that's interesting, you know, that just to keep an eye on him, really. And in terms of bookings points, I mean, Hills, I was going to ask for a price on him to be booked this weekend. Hills don't generally give player bookings prices, do they? But it might be worth a little look on, just to keep a check on him and see how he starts his Chelsea career. I couldn't find whether he's a dirty player, whether he likes to dive or what it is.
You can't find him. 25 million almost. You can't find out hardly anything about him.
Amazing,
I don't know. He's from Colombia, so I don't know if that's his real value or his street value. He was nicknamed in Italy. He was nicknamed Vespa, apparently, because of his knack of zipping through the traffic on a pitch. That will come in handy if Villa park the bus. Yeah. Bum bum.
QPR Southampton next, Derek, and QPR 7-2, the draw 12-5, Southampton 17-20.
You're desperate for Southampton.
Well, how much have I cleaned up opposing Southampton recently?
Yeah,
the Palace game last week, Swansea. I had a couple of bob on that last Sunday. And it's just too big. QPR 7-2. Yeah, I know the manager list, but that's not a bad thing the way they were playing with a manager. And we all know that if QPR are going to stay up, it's going to be their home form keeping them up. Mm. We only lost three games at Loftus Road, won five, you know, which is as many as Liverpool. You know, Liverpool only won five home games. And they were 7-2 to beat a side who we know are heading one way in the league, and that's downwards. Softened up by Swansea. I didn't think so. You know, everyone going on about Southampton dominating against Swansea last week. They were unlucky to lose, but I'd had a bet on Swansea, and I couldn't see them conceding. I can't remember a decent chance Southampton created. I think QPR all over. It's a massive bet. It's undoubtedly my bet of the weekend.
Okay, QPR 7-2. Derek, obviously, Harry Redknapp, the pressure on him's finally told. Didn't think it manifest with a physical injury. Knee surgery ruled him out for the foreseeable future. You ghost wrote his autobiography, Derek.
Yeah, his original one, not the one that's not his update recently. That was Martin Samuel. Harry obviously didn't like the job it did first time around, so he's got rid of me. He needs a replacement for his right knee and a replacement for his left knee, and Fernandez wouldn't allow him to get them in the transfer window, so he's off he's popped. You know, it's something not quite right about that story, is it? You know,
a strange one, isn't it?
Yeah, and also it's out, QPR have got games coming up. That, you know, away games that are winnable, even for QPR. A lot of tough fixtures behind them now. Where they wait, and the timing does. A new manager's not coming in saying he wants to buy players in the transfer window because that's over now. So he'll come in. You know, he'll have to make do with the squad he's got, and it's a run of fixtures that QPR could get out of trouble in. Just all seems a bit, you know, all seems a bit suspect. The excuse from Harry.
What was it like when you were speaking to him for that autobiography?
Fantastic. Yeah. So, I loved him, and incredibly entertaining. I mean, I would have done the job for nothing. I didn't tell him that. Like, I pretty much did the job for nothing, to be honest. I made a mistake. It could terrible mistake of taking money up front
and
cut the royalties, and it sold squillions.
Did it?
Yeah. So bad decision by me. Mm. You know, he was great. I loved the guy, and you know, when you see he's entertaining on TV, but he's like that in real life as well, and a lovely bloke.
You've made it back with these naps subsequently, though, Derek.
Say that again.
You've made it back with these naps.
Yes, I am. Yes, you're right.
You're not counting the previous 10 years.
No, I'm only counting this season since Derek returned. Tim Sher was likely to become the new
one
boss,
to eight he? Years. I was just looking at you when you were talking to Derek. Then 1-8 to be the next QPR manager.
Les Ferdinand's been made football. I would never suggest anyone back anything at 1-8 in a manager market. But Les Ferdinand's been made director of football now, and we all know that him and Sherwood are worth thick as thieves. So you'd expect him to
looks that
to
way,
come,
doesn't it?
Wouldn't
to
you?
Be fair, I mean, I don't know why, because you know he's got no experience of getting a club out of the mire. I think they're going down, to be honest. I mean, we've talked about the home form and what games they've got coming up at home: Southampton, Arsenal, Tottenham, Everton, Chelsea, West Ham and Newcastle, the remaining home games. So they have to pick up points away from home. I mean, are they going to get another 18 points, which would take them to safety in the remaining games? I mean, you know, it's obviously doable, but they've only got 19 so far, and they've played 23 games already. So I think it's a struggle for them from here on in. It'd be interesting to know. I haven't really seen much about what the players think of what's happened this week, whether they're pleased with it or not. For me, I can't have... I know the price is decent on QPR, but not for me. I'm not saying Southampton or all that, but I think they will be... After that run they went on before, I think they will be really, really keen on not allowing the same thing to happen again. It may well happen. It may be that they lose, you know, a few more in succession, but I think they'll batten down the hatches here at QPR and do what they do best, which is stifling the opposition, nicking the ball off them and trying to get a goal on the break. They went to Man United and won 1-0. You know, they even did it in the FA Cup against Ipswich. We've said this, you know, against a lot of different teams this season. They've gone away and it's been very tight. I'm going for Southampton to win. And under 2.5 goals here at, I think it's 13-5, the price for that. I just think they'll nick it 1-0. QPR have only scored one goal in the last four home games, including Sheffield United in that run as well.
If you fancy Southampton to win 1-0, that's 11-2 in the correct score market.
By the way, see how much they, I was amazed at this. See how much they paid for Ryan Bertrand from Chelsea?
Yeah, I know. 16,
11 million, was it?
Was it 11? I thought it was like 16.
Oh, maybe it was. It's rising to that, but I thought that was a lot of money.
Yeah, for a left back.
They made a few signs, actually, didn't they? There was the other another player they signed, which I thought was really interesting. They made a few interesting additions to the squad anyway, Southampton. So I think they'll drift away a little bit, won't they, now? But this should be at QPR.
Swansea Sunderland next. That will be the match. That QPR Southampton match now will be the match that we talk about on Monday, undoubtedly, because Derek got one over you on your last weekend with Swansea beating Southampton. So you're sticking with Southampton again.
I'm used to it now.
Happy with that. Swansea Sunderland next. Swansea 19-20. The draw 21-10. Sunderland 7-2. Bafétimbi Gomis to score and Swansea to win is one of the headline offers at 3-1. The other one is Jermaine Defoe to score and Sunderland to win, which is 7-1. I was surprised, Lee, to see Sunderland at such a big price here, 7-2. Lost away at the Etihad and White Hart Lane, but prior to that they've been pretty stout away from home, and Swansea may be slightly overrated here, odds on, following that win against Southampton.
Yeah, both things are fair that you've said there. I think obviously Defoe's made a big difference to this team, and you know the manager said so this week. They changed the system to accommodate him. He's already off the mark. He's 21-10 to score any time. Swansea may be one of those kind of teams that he would score against as well. Just interested to see how Swansea approach this match, because I thought they'd be much more defensive against Chelsea, and they weren't, and they should have been. They conceded after a minute, didn't they? And then it just went from bad to worse and lost 5-0. I find this quite a tricky one to call, just because I don't quite know what Sunderland are going to do next. 3-1 they won at Fulham. Looked, you know, they had to go a goal down, didn't they, before they came back. Swansea have given away more points from winning positions than any other team in the Premier League this season. That's 16. I think this will end in a draw. And for the more intrepid among you, I seem to have left my cautious Colin tag this week, by the way. I've gone for some ridiculous bets. Sunderland to come from behind and draw is 17-2. Quite like that.
Okay. What do you think, Derek?
You know what I'm going to say, Dave? Sunderland 7-2.
Yeah.
Mouth to be. Swansea are odds on, and you know, when you see Swansea in that kind of territory, oppose is the first word on your mind. You've got to oppose them. I mean, a great result for them at Southampton last week. Bit of a smash and grab raid, I know. I mean, I went for them because of the price. I'll never back Swansea odds on. And Sunderland, I don't know how they're doing it, because I've seen them a few times this season, and I've thought, what a poor side. And yet, two great results on the spin. Only one defeat in their last four. It's just too big a price. Mm. You know, they get well capable of going to Swansea and winning, and you're getting a really tasty odds for it. Sunderland for me.
One other bet that I meant to mention was the Cards. Sunderland are the worst side in terms of discipline in the Premier League. If you count all their matches this season, they've had 68 yellow cards in 28 games, I think it is. And for Swansea, it's the same number of games, and they've had 43 cards. Sunderland have had the most bookings points in each of the last four away games. They drew with Newcastle in the derby. You can back like overs on the Cards, obviously. Over 45 bookings points is 21-20. But you can also back overs on the Cards for each team. I think Sunderland over three cards in the game at 12-5 tempts me a little bit. They've had a lot recently, and like I say, 68 in 28 is an awful lot. There's loads of different markets. Sunderland card first to 15th market, yes, is 11-2. So have a look at those card markets and do something pro Sunderland. 7-10 for most booking points.
Yeah, just looking at that.
A little short, but I think it'll land. So I mean, given the stats and the way that the table looks, and Swansea are quite a well disciplined team, I could probably play that 7-10.
That's for Sunderland, most booking points in that match. And we finish off this weekend with Leicester versus Crystal Palace, 3 p.m. Saturday. Leicester 7-5, the draw 21-10, Crystal Palace 21-10. Derek, goals been tough to come by for Leicester recently. Just three in their last seven at home in the league. And they weren't very good at Old Trafford last weekend.
No, they were very poor.
They were really poor. And Crystal Palace have improved significantly under Alan Pardew. They have to get back on the horse, though, following that loss at home to Everton.
I didn't see much of that game, but I've spoken to Blue Noses who watched it, and Palace outclassed Everton, apparently, but still lost 1-0. That was a bit of a setback. They did, as you say, some tremendous results, four of them on the spin, in fact. Leicester are a false favourite. 7-5 doesn't appeal at all. So it's Palace or the draw for me. You wonder how Pardew will approach it. He's 6 points ahead of Leicester at the moment. Defeat, and you know, they're right on their tails. A draw would do him, it seems. I'm not sure if that's in Pardew's mindset, though. He doesn't seem that kind of manager.
He's probably not looked at the table yet, Derek.
Yeah. Yeah, you're probably right. I'll have to go for the draw here. I know I want to be against Leicester, but I'm not sure whether Palace have just got enough about them. The draw for me.
21-10, the draw, Lee.
I think it's going to be a high scorer, though. I know Leicester have been struggling for goals, but Kramaric played 60 minutes, didn't he, in his first match for his new club, Leicester. And we're told he'll start up front again with Azura again this weekend. They've got to start winning, simple as that. I know it's easy to say that, but you know, there's no point in sitting back and trying to defend when you're bottom of the table. You've got to give it a go, I think. You know, I'm interested to see how this Kramaric turns out, because they need some goals from somewhere. He got 21 and 18 games in the Croatian top division. So he's obviously got something about him. I know that he's not going to score that kind of level in the Premier League, but should have a goal or two in him. So impressed with them. I think Palace did the best business in the transfer window, to be honest with you. I think some of the transfers they made, Jordan Much, Derek was a big fan of Much's when he was at Cardiff a season ago.
Yeah.
I think he landed a couple of goal scorer bets with him.
Yeah.
I think he scored against Liverpool, in fact, in that season. Hasn't had a good time of it at QPR, but not many have. James McArthur from Wigan, we all know that he's a, you know, decent player. Zaha, of course, signed back again from Man United. Like I say, yeah, been really impressed. I think he'll go for it here. I think Pardew's probably got the bit between his teeth. I mean, they look like the home and host for safety. I think, you know, if they continue in the same vein, they've really taken to him as a manager, haven't they? And look at the goals they've scored since he came on board. I mean, you know, if you start with the Dover game, which is, you know, just to bolster the stats, I suppose, but they should have won that. But, you know, four there, scored two in the 2-1 win over Tottenham, scored three at Burnley, come back from 2-0 down, scored three at Southampton in the Cup. Had a bad day against Everton, of course, but I think they'll bounce back. I think we could see a really entertaining game here, led by the fact that Palace will hit them on the break. I'm looking at over 3.5 goals in the match at 3-1.
Crystal Palace, big price there as well, at 21-10. Do we have to do the naps then? Do we have to continue with this?
Well, give us the standings first, young man.
We haven't got the standings, they've disappeared. Well, we're £10 worse off than we were last week, and you're not. Is that good enough? Is that all right? Is that all right
That's
for you?
Fair enough, fair
what price? What price was your winner last week?
It was only 13-8, but I would have gone for Swansea.
Just chipping away with those small.
Yeah, no, you left that for me. That's the second week in a row you've left me the bet, and it's been chinned. I'm letting you go first.
Yeah, Derek, you kick us off.
Okay, well, I'm going to go for I'm going to go for QPR 72 to beat Southampton, but I'll put a word in dispatches for Sunderland at the same price.
Yeah,
to win at Swansea.
I thought you'd have gone for Sunderland. I had them noted down as your possible nap this weekend. 7-2 QPR. I'm going to go with Liverpool away at Everton. I like the price, 13-10. It's the same price as Arsenal at Spurs, and I think Liverpool are far likelier to win at Goodison at Everton.
Correct.
So I'll go Liverpool 13-10.
Faultless logic.
Very good. And I'm going with that Andy Carroll to score any time against Man U. I think the defence will be tested to its limit with their direct style of play. And Carroll, obviously, in the air is great, as we said during the match preview. So, yeah, 2-1. I do like West Ham as well. I do like that over 3.5 Leicester Palace as well. But I'll stick with that one.
Good feeling this week, chaps.
Yeah,
me too.
But I'm always like that, though, even though you two are involved.
Ever the optimist. There's got to be a turnaround at some point. 30.05-1, that treble, folks, if you're getting involved. That's QPR to win at home against Southampton, Liverpool at 13-10 away at Everton, and Andy Carroll to score any time in the match between West Ham and Manchester United on Sunday afternoon, 30.05-1. Thanks, Mr. McGovern.
Pleasure.
Thank you, Mr. Phelps.
Thank you.
Thanks to everyone for listening. Remember, you can download this via iTunes or check us out at audioboom.com by searching for William Hill. And we'll be back very, very soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.